You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Marunzi. The band's back together. We got three-time NBA champion BJ Armstrong and general manager extraordinaire Mr. Scott Perry in the house. How you doing, fellas?
Man, I'm doing fantastic this weekend, Mo. You know, I know we're here to talk a lot of NBA basketball, but big trade happened in the NFL last night. It got my guy. They caught my attention, Mo. I don't know if you kept up with the hot news, Mo, but
tell me the name of the player who got traded. I'll tell you if I've heard of them before.
DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers traded for him.
Okay, because so I saw some tweets about
Pittsburgh. Yeah,
I saw some tweets about the Patriots maybe trying to trade for him.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot of people. He was the number one receiver on the market. So, good pickup for the Steelers.
Okay. Where's he coming from?
Seattle Seahawks.
See, we're learning. We're learning over here.
We're learning. Exactly. Hey, by the time we're done with this, you're going to know football just like you know basketball.
Well, I want to know from the people. Yeah. Tweet me or Discord or Instagram. Do you guys want to see an NFL spin-off show for next season? You guys want to see a little NFL spin-off show? Because we could make that happen. We can make that happen. Just once a week, talk a little football. Yeah. We could do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. BJ, how's things with you?
Oh, man. Beautiful. Just hanging. You know, Scott's team is quietly going about their business. The Steelers.
they're
quietly going about their business. And that's it. And it's March Madness here. You know, we're gearing up for the NCAA tournament. So, daylight savings time here. And we're just kind of moving along.
Longer days, Mo.
You know, the more. For me this weekend, I had a very sad realization this weekend. You know, I spoke to BJ on the last show we did on Friday. I told him I'm doing a little experiment, right? I said, you know, we hear and we break down basketball and talk about, you know, the important things in the game. But it doesn't seem to me that that's what fans want to see anymore. You know, it seems to me that the fans just want to hear about narratives and who's the GOAT and this and that and all these different types of things. Okay. So I said to BJ, I'm going to do an experiment for the rest of the season. I'm going to make both types of content and I'm going to see which one gets more interactions. So I put out a tweet about the Stephen A and Bronny and LeBron situation. Mm-hmm. And that was my most engaged tweet of the season so far. Even though every day I tweet about basketball and what's happening in the games and stuff, the most engaged tweet I had was about Bronny and Stephen A. Smith. And then I, for the next 48 hours, proceeded to be harassed by racial abuse and death threats from fans of LeBron James. Not that I said anything really bad about them. I just said, you know, if you're a player in the NBA, it's fair to be criticized. But it was a sad realization because now fans can't enjoy basketball. They've been conditioned, whether it's through the media, through the way the league's been marketed, through the impact of social media. Maybe COVID altered everyone's brain chemistry. But it feels to me that fans can no longer enjoy and appreciate the sport of basketball in the way it's meant to be appreciated. Instead, they have started worshipping these players in a way of a false idol or a celebrity. And a lot of people don't care about the sport of basketball. They're using the NBA as their celebrity fix. They're using LeBron James as their equivalent of a Kim Kardashian. That's just who they worship. They don't care what happens in the game as long as they can get on the internet and talk about their favorite player. And, you know, anyone who says anything that they slightly disagree with, they then lose their minds. And I just feel sorry for the grown-ass adults who are sitting in their houses getting angry enough to try and find my location and send me death threats because I said, okay, we can criticize this guy. Number one, I ain't like these other losers in the media. If you try and find me, pull up on me. I ain't scared of none of you losers on the internet. Number two, I just feel sorry for you. LeBron don't know you. You're never going to meet LeBron. He's never going to even know you exist. Yet here you are, willing to put your life on the line for someone who don't know you exist. You lot are all losers. I just feel sorry for you at this point. So, you know, we sit here and we break down the game. And I just think If we came here as if we were ESPN employees and spoke about the GOAT debate every week, we'd probably double our subscribers by tomorrow. And I think that's just a damning indictment on the state of sports fandom. I don't know what it's like in other sports. I don't really follow other sports too closely. I like football. I like UFC. I like boxing. But NBA fandom right now, the fans have been so conditioned to not be able to appreciate the sport of basketball. The Celtics played the Lakers this weekend in a fascinating game. I go on Twitter afterwards, and fans are laughing about the fact Tatum and Brown played over 40 minutes of basketball. And I'm like, do you guys not enjoy watching basketball? That was the most expensive game that the Celtics have ever sold tickets for. And you're laughing at the fact that the players played a lot of minutes in the biggest rivalry in the NBA. That's what we're meant to see. They think it's a negative thing that players are playing lots of minutes in these games. And I just think that everyone's finished. I just think that the minds of the fans have been cooked. And I don't know what the exact reason is. And I'm trying to figure that out. But, you know, it's quite a sad space for the league to be in, that the fans no longer care about the nuances of the game. They just care about what their player did and if what their player did can be used in an argument on the internet, which is not even a real place, with strangers that they don't know to further the case because they have an emotional attachment to another human being who's unaware of their existence. And it made me question a lot of things about humanity because I just thought, what's wrong with everyone? Do you know what I mean? Like, the sport of basketball is so amazing and it's so interesting to watch, yet people have stopped caring about that. And then everyone says, oh, you know, the media coverage is rubbish. They don't talk about this and that. Well, you as fans are choosing to engage with the nonsense rather than the people who are actually creating content that is insightful and interesting. And that's where I'm at with it. I just think, you know, if we come here now every week and we do, oh, who's the greatest player of all time? Oh, who's the greatest point guard of all time? Oh, who's the MVP? This guy was robbed for MVP. If we just did that five times a week, I think we could have the biggest show in the world. Because I think right now what we have is the best show in the world because we actually talk about basketball. But if we just did the BS that all these other networks are feeding to people and the fans have been conditioned to care about, I just think we would make a lot more money. And at the end of the day, everything's a business. So you can't be mad at ESPN for not covering the game properly. ESPN is a business. They're putting out whatever people want to click on the most. And you as fans, because you're clicking on it, you're signaling to them that that's what you want to see. And they're going to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And then you're going to come here and complain, oh, they don't cover the game properly. It's a business. They're trying to make money and you falling into their trap. So that was my weekend. That was my weekend. So, What do you guys think about, you know, the fandom? Because I wasn't around in, you know, the 70s and the 80s and you know, I was born in the 90s. But what was it like being a fan before, I guess, the internet corrupted the minds of the people who claim they watch the games? But I don't think they even watch the games anymore. I think they just look at the box score and say, oh, my favorite player had, you know, for example, that Celtics-Lakers game. The Celtics did an amazing job against Luka Doncic, right? Jaylen Brown is probably one of the best players in the league at guarding Luka Doncic. Al Horford, at the age of 38, is guarding Luka Doncic and LeBron James. But then I go online and I see the fans saying, oh, Luka had a great game. He had 34 and 8 rebounds and da, da, da. But did we watch the same thing? Did we watch the same thing? Like, LeBron played, Luka played, but Jason Tatum was the best player on the floor. But no one wants to talk about that. They want to tell me, and this is the lamest thing that I see in the media, in the world, they talk about this word called aura. I see Colin Cowherd sitting on the internet talking about, when I close my eyes and think of Michael Jordan, and I close my eyes and I think of LeBron James, when I close my eyes and think of Jason Tatum, I don't see it. Bro, why are you closing your eyes and thinking of these guys? That's weird, Colin. That's a weird thing to do. He's like, when I close my eyes, I think of Michael's smile and magic. And like, what's wrong with you, man? Watch the damn games. Watch the damn games and talk about what's happening on the court. That's weird behavior. This aura thing, that's weird. I don't care who's got aura. Do you know what I care about? I care about who's winning the basketball game. I don't care what you think of this guy's aura. What does that even mean? I think aura just means whichever player you have the biggest crush on. You lot, if that's what you're on, do your thing. But I'm here to talk about basketball. I'm not here to talk about which player I think has the best smile in the NBA. Colin Cowherd, that was weird. So, you know, what do you guys think about the state of NBA fandom right now? I don't know how much that impacts what you guys do, but
I mean, it really doesn't, Mo. You bring up a lot of points. This is really what you're talking about. You could dedicate an entire show or shows to. I think the difference is when I was coming up as a fan, there was no 24-hour sports media, first and foremost. And that's what you're seeing now. And the average fan's ability to take part in the news cycle now, which was not the case before. BJ will recall when we were growing up, we had to wait to the 6 o'clock or 11 o'clock news to catch a few highlights of basketball games, or wait to the next morning to read about it in the newspaper. So it's an entirely different time that we're living in, and I just think that's reflective in what's transpiring now, because there's a calling, a need, I guess, for there to be new news all the time. The moment a story is released nowadays, it becomes old news. The longest it may last is a day or two, because then it's on to the next story. So it's always something that's trying to be broken. So that's why I think you see a lot of attention now being paid, not only to what's transpiring on the court, which we have the biggest affinity for and what we cover here on this Hoop Genius podcast, but there is also a segment, as you just articulated, that is very interested into all of the other things surrounding the game, that's behind the scenes of the game, the theater, everything outside of what's happening on that 94 by 53 dimension. So, just interesting times, Mo. That's all. That's my own take on it. I don't know what BJ thinks, but that's my quick take on it.
Well, I mean, there's so much to unpack there, but we have choices. And if anything, especially us who are a little bit more experienced, you have choices and you have a lot of choices now. Mo, you make fun of me for not being, I am not a social media person. I've made that choice not to engage, so that I can participate, and when I say participate, you can look at this from a lot of different perspectives. But the most important thing is, are you invested into the income, like you mentioned here, recently? Are you investing into the income, or are you investing into the outcome? I've made a conscious choice to give back to the game because of one word, love. I love it. I love the game, the people who play. But there are a lot of people who are with the game for other reasons, right? I mean, with the popularity of the game, certainly Scott and I are a little older than you, Mo, so we saw the game prior to it becoming this popular global game that you currently see today. I mean, Scott and I are both old enough to remember when the NBA Finals was taped delayed. Okay. We were old enough to remember where you didn't get a chance to be this connected to the NBA. The games weren't on television every single day, let alone the coverage that you have today via various outlets. So this comes with the territory. I think, it requires now discipline to be a fan, where before it was more specialized. You had your basketball fans who followed the basketball, you had your football fans in various sports. And these people were, you had to make an effort. Like Scott said, we had to make an effort to be a fan. Now it's just accessible. You turn on your phone, you get the scores, you look at a few highlights, now you're an expert. That's how it is. And in addition to that, now you have a platform to give your view based on what? So to give your view is based on popularity. So just because you're popular doesn't mean that you are qualified to speak on that. So again, we've accomplished what we thought was never possible, You have unprofessional people commenting about a professional sport in a way we've never seen. That's what you have. You know, there's on this, the reason I love you guys is because we all take responsibility for what we say. So when we take responsibility for what you say, then you have to, you know, you have to have some critical thinking. No one's, you go about these GOAT debates and all these things. Okay, in order to go through the GOAT debate, you got to go through and study all of the people that have played and the circumstances in which they played. So it's an argument when you look at it from its core, it's just everyone's giving their opinion. However, is it fun to give your opinion and argue with your fans, argue with your friends quietly about something? Yes. But to go out and say such and such is the greatest player, when we all know this, right? These are the facts. The facts are minus my opinion. There were different eras, right? The 50s and 60s, and especially the players, the black players, faced different circumstances than what they're facing today. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. The rules were different. The equipment was different. The facilities were different.
The travel was different.
So yes. All of these things. So when we start looking at it and you start hearing the argument and you go, oh, wow, maybe they don't have access to Google and other things to figure that out. So they make these arguments. They come on. They sound great. We splice them up. It becomes a hot take or whatever the case may be. But the truth and the fact remains is that we respect all of the players and all of the people that has made this game great. And now with the popularity, we have more people participating in the game than ever before. Scott is one of the first people who said this to me. This is the first time as an adult that we have more people influencing the game who probably never participated in the game before.
No question.
Think about that. We have more people participating in this business, in this sport than ever before because it's more popular than ever before. And they're being influenced by people who've probably never participated in the sport at any level before, not just in the NBA, but at any level. Mm-hmm. So this is what happens. This is part of the process in any business. Popular, when the game gets popular, this is what happens. And now we're going through our stage. So let's figure it out and continue to have the discipline to do what we're doing here, which is we talk about the game, we respect it, and we keep it moving. And I think, I know our listeners appreciate that. And at some point it comes back as more and more people who care about it try to move the game forward, like we all try to do here. And we'll see where it lands. But I'm not concerned about what is happening in the sport. The reason I'm not concerned is because I've chosen to always be true to the sport, right? You got to be true to it. And I get it. It'll go in different directions, but eventually it comes back. It always comes back. It's just kind of like the playoffs. It always comes back to its original form, and we'll be there to we'll take all of this as we go forward.
There's an old saying, Mo, you got to keep the main thing the main thing, and that's where we're at now, you know, with the NBA to really get back to the greatness this league offers. It takes everybody who's involved, who's working in this league, to make sure that they're always focused on the main thing, and that is the enhancement of the game and making sure that the competition in this game is at an all-time high. That's how you grow the game. That's how you get people really engaged and that's how that people fell in love with the NBA because of those things, the great competition, the engagement, and the focus on those players and how hard they were playing on that court each and every night and watching teams go on their particular journeys and to eventually crown one champion at the end of each season. So that's where we got to keep our focus. And I know we will do that here on this Hoop Genius
podcast. Oh, absolutely. Exactly. That, you know, If it's one thing the Detroiters are going to do is everybody else is going left, we're going to go right. We're going to stay our path. Now, is it more difficult? Yes, but we're wired that way. We're wired to always choose hard. So the hard path is doing what we do. We're not doing this to be popular. We're not doing this to, for the various reasons, to monetize it. We're doing it because we respect this game. I mean, Mo, at some point, you said you wanted to be an executive. Well, you know what? Here's someone who has done it, Scott Perry. Scott Perry has done it at the highest level. And when you get to the NBA, Mo, you don't, don't pay back anything. Pay forward. Pay
That's it.
forward.
Pay it
Pay
forward.
forward. Pay forward. So we're giving back to what was given to us. And I understand why the other people take. Why? Because it wasn't given to them like it was given. We are very appreciative to say that we've won. And then when we watch Mo receive his first championship ring, we will be there in the audience to applaud. Because we know no matter how popular he gets, we know where he learned it from, right here on the Hoop Genius podcast. And take our call, Mo, when we
Mo,
call you. Don't pick
you guys
Kyle.
gonna be right there with
Hey,
me. Don't
Mo.
worry about that. But
Hey,
I'm gonna tell you
Mo.
one thing.
And when the commissioner gives you that microphone to say what you got to say, well, I just want to hear one thing. You know
You know the vibe.
the
See, I don't think I'm gonna be very popular because my team ain't gonna have no load management. If you be flopping, you're getting benched. We ain't having none of this foolishness. We're going back to the old school with it. But let's go back to this old school rivalry. The Celtics and the Lakers played in one of the most anticipated matchups of the regular season this weekend. It was fascinating first half, but before the Celtics came away in the third quarter and kind of blew the game wide open. Took the foot off the gas a little bit going into the fourth, but they still sealed out the win. What really stood out to you from this game? Because for me, we talk about the rivalries and the intensity. That was one of the few regular season matchups I've seen this season where it felt like both teams were really geared up for the, intensity of this matchup. My favorite play of the game was, where Jaylen Brown in transition after a defensive stop hits Al Horford, he dunks and he kind of swings on the basket accidentally, maybe not accidentally, kind of hits Luka with his leg while he's on the way down from hanging on the bucket. And you could really see the tone being set early that this, even though it's a regular season game, because of the history of these two franchises, and now the expectations that the Lakers might be in the finals and the Celtics are the defending champions, the intensity was really there, and it was a really fun game to watch. But what were your takeaways from this one?
Well, first, I'll start off by saying that it was clear to me that both teams understood the meaning of this regular season game. Let's start with the Lakers first. The Lakers had been on an 8-game winning streak coming into this. We've watched how Luka and LeBron have started to form a real fluid and efficient, effective partnership on the court, and it's impacted and improve the performances of those around them. So they understood that they were coming on the road to play the defending world champions, and they wanted to go in and make a statement. I'm sure that, okay, and use this game as a barometer of where we're really at. Can we challenge to win it all this year? So you could tell that with the urgency what they started the game with, and again, the back and forth nature of that first half was some really great basketball and enjoyable basketball to watch. And from the Celtics perspective, again, Boston, LA is always a big game, but the Celtics were saying, okay, there's a lot of attention being showered here. Now we've got to get through the Eastern Conference first, but just in case we see these guys in the finals, we got to let them know what they're up against. And I really thought Jason Tatum was excellent in the game. I mean, he definitely made his case for why he should be at minimum first team all NBA and still should get some consideration for MVP, even though I digress, that's going to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But he was phenomenal in that game, just how he played in both ends, as was his running mate, Jaylen Brown. I thought he was really key and pivotal in this performance. And here's why. He really takes on the challenge of playing and competing against Luka Doncic. He's same size as Luka. He's extremely strong. He's strong like Luka, but he's much more athletic. His quickness, Luka's not able to bully Jaylen Brown. He's not able to really back him down. And Jaylen Brown has figured out what he did in the finals last year, extending his defense up the floor, picking Luka up three-quarter court, at half court, not allowing him to establish any momentum. Now, I know Luka ended up finishing with scoring, I don't know what he scored, 30 points in that game or close?
Yeah, 34.
But when that game was in the balance and when the Celtics made their big run in the third, I really thought that Jaylen Brown did a phenomenal job on him defensively and went at him on the other end, on the defensive end, because you saw Luka a few times in this game kind of revert back to that Luka in Dallas where you see him, if he didn't get a call, he stopped and argued, the action is going the other way, missed some defensive assignments, rotations that he was making a little bit earlier in his Lakers tenure, was not making them in that game. So it was just interesting to watch all of that unfold. Boston let me know in watching them that they're going to be up to the challenge of trying to defend their title because they do just enough to win. And remember, they won this game without Kristaps Porzingis, and they won this game with an Al Horford, he's another ageless wonder who I thought did a tremendous job when they were switching defensively. And when he switched on to Luka, whoever he switched on to, did a phenomenal job defensively in a one-on-one in those situations. So kudos to Boston, but great for the league to see those two iconic organizations compete like they did.
I think the standout thing in Luka's stat line is he only had 3 assists. And this is a guy who averages near double-digit assists. And the reason for that is most teams have to double a player like Luka Doncic. But the Celtics are happy to live with single coverage on most players in the league because they believe in any of their 5 guys being able to guard. So, you know, JJ Redick's game plan to start this one was to get Luka switched onto, you know, either Al Horford or Peyton Pritchard and try and go at these guys one-on-one. And they held their ground. And when they didn't switch and Jaylen Brown was just guarding him, you kind of saw this in the Knicks game with OG Anunoby because there's not a lot of players who have the size and the strength, but also the kind of speed to be able to anticipate what Luka's doing because of his deceleration, even though Luka's not a really quick player. So it's really a credit to the defensive identity of the Boston Celtics that they can play single coverage and be happy with any of the guys on the court guarding anyone on the other team one-on-one. And then, you know, my favorite play, as I spoke about before, if you watch it carefully, Al Horford on that dunk I spoke about before gets up the court quicker. 38-year-old Al Horford gets up the court quicker in transition than Luka Doncic. That to me, I just looked at that and I thought, man, I think Al Horford might be one of the most underrated players we have in the NBA because at the age of 38, he does a great job on Embiid every time they play. He does a great job on Giannis every time they play. He did a great job on Luka. He did a great job on LeBron. And he's not even known as a defensive player. He's not got a reputation like that. But any matchup that he's handed, he holds it down. Big Al, 38 years old.
Al Horford is a winner. And look, he won back-to-back national championships in college. Now he may, I believe, be the first player with the chance to win back-to-back collegiate titles and then come to the NBA and win back-to-back titles. He may be the only one. If there's somebody else, obviously it's a very small list, but just think about that. The guy's impact on winning, that just lets me know that he's willing to do whatever it takes for the team to be successful because he's had different roles on, you know, this role on the championship teams in college, a little different than what they are now in the pros. And he's improved his game each and every season as a pro. A lot of respect for that guy.
BJ, what were your thoughts watching this one?
Well, I think you guys covered it. And, you know, you you see that the Celtics, if anything, they still have the competitive fire that's necessary to win a championship. So the one thing that I will give them, which you always have to look out for, is do you have that, what I call that championship layover? Well, we won, and then all of a sudden you don't have the same fire, if you will, or same energy to go out there and execute. Well, they showed that to me. They were ready, they were prepared, but more importantly, that they went out there and executed what needed to be executed, not just with the first effort, but the second and third efforts. They were still getting loose balls, and they accepted the challenge from the opposing team. So that's a plus. However, I'm very concerned about this team because when you start having your 38, 39-year-old players like Al Horford, who we should be singing his praise, you know, now he's starting to get into a space where arguably you may say, is he a Hall of Famer, you know, from the DR and what he's been able to achieve, not only as a professional, but what he did, as Scott pointed out, collegially, when you start seeing him playing 37, 38 minutes in a regular season, that takes his toll. At 38, 39, especially the way he plays. So I am really concerned about the depth of this team right now because Porzingis has not been healthy. Okay. I don't know where his health will stand as far as his availability moving forward. Al can't continue to play 37, 38 minutes. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are phenomenal, but you don't want to load them up where all of a sudden they don't have the same energy that's going to be necessary in the playoffs. As we know, they're going to be priority one and two going into this to this playoff run. So I'm a little concerned about their depth. I think it was Scott who said that at the beginning of the season. And when you start seeing two, three, four players begin to play 40 minutes plus to win a regular season game, no matter how important that game is, you always have to get concerned with that. Because now you're playing with fire a little bit. So hopefully this team will stay healthy. We want them to stay healthy, right? So we can
Yeah,
observe
absolutely.
this. But if for some reason things don't go perfect or someone has to miss a substantial amount of time or any amount of time, that could be a game changer for this team. They are a championship caliber team, however. But other than that, they look great. We haven't spoken about the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think they're on another current winning streak of
14
like
games.
14 games.
And they're awesome. Yeah, they've been
They, you
playing
know,
awesome.
the, so they're playing
And the
great
Milwaukee Bucks have
basketball.
been really good since the All-Star break.
Yes, they
Yeah.
have. And for them to go in and beat Milwaukee last night,
Yeah. But
quite an accomplishment.
I really loved what I saw from the Celtics. But if there's one thing that I did see is that I think they only play like eight and nine players during that game. You know what I'm saying? Like
They
eight and
played
nine, I can't
Pritchard,
remember.
Cornette, and Hauser off the bench.
So they only played eight players. I'm concerned with that. Okay, I'm concerned with that. And those guys are young enough, Tatum and Brown, to do and carry that load. But I am concerned because they needed that level of contribution from one big, and that was Al Horford. And hey, the big fella is always good for one or two games in a playoff series. He is, okay. But now, Mo, we're asking him to reach into the bag earlier, okay. And remember, the Lakers did not have, was it Jackson Hayes, right? I don't think he
Yeah,
didn't play
they
that
were
game.
playing with without their
So they
center.
did. So they didn't play with the big. But give the Celtics credit; they deserve the praise. They matched it. Da 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 da. But just remember now, you're looking at these things because those things carry over. And that's a lot of minutes. That's a lot. Those are a lot of minutes for Al Horford and during the regular season.
But Porzingis is going to be key. He has to be, for them to repeat, in my opinion, he has to be healthy for the entire playoff run. Can't be a series here, series there, the upset. He needs to get healthy,
He's not listed
last
out with
few
an
weeks of the regular
injury. It's
season.
a non-COVID illness. I'm not sure what the illness is, but that's what's kept him out for like the last five games.
But they're going to need him to have, to finish out this season and be healthy throughout the playoffs, in my opinion. not only is he an excellent player, but in terms of what BJ is just talking about too, in terms of the number of bodies available to you, extremely important.
Just going back to what you said earlier, Scott, I think Bill Russell won back-to-back championships in college and in the NBA.
Okay, so he'll be the second.
I
That
can't
might
think
be
of
the only
anyone
one.
else who's done it. So it might be a might just be a Celtics thing. But speaking of
Exactly.
injuries, LeBron James picked up some sort of groin injury. He's going to be out 1 to 2 weeks. And obviously the Western Conference standings, OKC Thunder are clearly at the top. They're 12 games ahead of the second seed Lakers. But between the Lakers and, let's say the eighth seed Clippers, there's a 6-game differential between them. LeBron now missing. You think they could go on a slide, but I think this just gives Luka a bigger chance to settle into Los Angeles. And, we've seen Luka be capable of carrying a team just by himself. But another team that I wanted to talk about in the Western Conference is the Golden State Warriors, who have been on a little 4-game win streak here. They've been playing fantastic basketball since they added Mr. Jimmy Butler. I think they're 9-1 in their last 10 games. How are you guys looking at the Golden State Warriors these days as a threat in the postseason?
They're a dangerous team. They are an extremely dangerous team, in my opinion. And look, kudos to them. Kudos to Jimmy Butler coming there and making such an impact. Obviously, he has freed up Steph Curry. I've looked at Steph Curry's numbers since the arrival of Jimmy Butler. I believe he's averaging over 30 a game since Jimmy has arrived there. His shooting percentages are up. He's moving more freely. Teams. While he obviously will always remain a focal point for a team defensively and trying to slow him down, when you add another threat like a Jimmy Butler who can attack the rim, get to the free throw line, occupy defenders, that's going to enhance everything that's going on the offensive end for the Golden State Warriors. And look, give Draymond Green credit too. Draymond Green, who is a very strong, we all know him and know him very well, to be a very strong personality. And he is very much a guardian of the Golden State legacy and the Golden State way of playing the game. But his welcoming of Jimmy Butler and allowing Jimmy to be Jimmy and his buy-in to Jimmy as well, I think is playing a big role in the success of the team and the mood around this team. And we're talking about a team that still hasn't got back, arguably, their second best player prior to the Jimmy Butler trade in Jonathan Kuminga. Boy, what's that going to look like when he comes back? This team is deep. They will defend. They move the basketball extremely well offensively, but so they're playing at both ends. They're playing well on both ends of the floor. They've got oodles of championship experience there, led by Steph and Draymond. So this is going to be a this is going to be a team. Golden State, in my opinion, is going to be a team that you're not going to want to face early in these playoffs. If you're a top three, let's say that they finish in the fifth or sixth seed. Well, let's say they finish sixth, you're not going to want to face them. You're a top three seed in the Western Conference, and your opening round is against the Golden State Warriors. Who? That is not going to be a matchup that you're going to be relishing, so to speak. They can make some noise in this Western Conference. Still have to see if they can get out of the entire conference because OKC is playing terrific basketball. Denver is obviously an extremely tough out as well. But they are to be, they and the Lakers, both because of the pedigree of their star players in terms of championships. When we talk about LeBron with the Lakers, and then you talk about Steph and Draymond, and then you've got Jimmy, who's played in finals, and just like the Lakers, you have Luka, who just played in the finals last year. I kind of look at those teams kind of in the same vein that they are very dangerous but come playoff time. And it'll be interesting to see once the series, whoever they get matched up against, you know, because as BJ knows, and you know Mo as well, that matchups are so key when it comes to playoff time. And so when those draws come out, that's going to be very interesting to see. And there could be a path. Would I be shocked to see a Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals? To sum it all up, I would not be shocked by that.
Mr. Armstrong, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think what Jonathan Kuminga is coming back from a ankle sprain, right? Is he's been out for quite some time. Is that the injury report? And what about the other kid? Brandon, how do you pronounce
Pajemski.
His last name? Pajemski. Yeah.
He's been playing.
Yeah.
He's been playing though, right?
Injured at the start of the game the other day.
He played against the Knicks. I know I saw him last
year. Yeah, Kuminga was out 3 weeks with ankle sprain.
Okay.
We'll reevaluate in 3 weeks is what they said.
The Jonathan Kuminga, provided he comes back and he's able to play like the Jonathan Kuminga or that talent, and you integrate that level of talent, that's a huge bonus for this Warriors team. And I think that will be a very interesting storyline for us to observe, because that has the capability for them to have some really, you know, you got three now. They got the big three there with you know, Draymond, Steph, and Jimmy. And then all of a sudden you integrate Kuminga in there. You put Gary Payton in there. All of a sudden now you're looking at a team that's saying on any given night, for sure they can win. And in given series, they have at the very least a fighter's chance.
Yeah.
So I like what I'm seeing. Give them credit. Give Mike Dunleavy credit, who was a former teammate of Jimmy Butler, I believe, there in Chicago with the Bulls,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
for having the courage to go out there and do this, and the team to, you know, accept him into the fold. That's always tough. You know, Scott will tell you he's more qualified to speak on it than I am. It's really tough when you have a player who is in your rotation that you got to figure out how to integrate him, minus training camp and all of those things. So this has been tough. Give them credit for doing it. Jimmy has been, this is the honeymoon stage, and they've all been playing great. And winning helps, okay? Winning helps with the transition.
Mm.
And so, I don't think any of us really knew what to expect. But you got to give them credit. Give Mike Dunleavy and these guys credit. They needed to do something up there. And, you know, we talked about it before the trade deadline. They did something. High risk, high reward. You know, I would love to have been a fly on the wall on the conversation when Coach Spo and Coach Kerr were talking about the trade. Mm-hmm. I would love to have known that conversation. Maybe it comes out. But whatever happened there in Miami, there was communication there. Jimmy has been terrific in Golden State. So whatever happened. Now he's going on to Golden State. He's been terrific. And then now you have hope back in the building. That's the biggest thing that you can see from this trade. The Golden State Warriors are beginning to believe that they have, you know, they have a chance now. And they are currently sixth. They deserve the credit. The staff, Steve Kerr, Mike Dunleavy, the players, their leadership. I think Draymond now is full-time the center position. So, you know, and they are much better on the defensive end. No doubt about it. They can defend a little bit. And, you know, we'll see. You know, Steph Curry is putting on a lot of minutes. He is shooting lights out on the road. Reminds me of a young Scott Perry. You know, it reminds me of a young Scott Perry running around shooting like that from range. And, we'll see. I think there's a lot of basketball left. But you have to give the Warriors organization, and I want to say that, you know, my give Mike Dunleavy in particular credit.
Yes,
for pulling no, for no pulling question. For pulling, you know, having the courage to do it. I mean, that was a big time trade. I mean, I didn't know what to think. You know, I didn't know what to think, but give him the courage, give him the credit for doing that trade and the team welcoming him and.
Yeah, that's what's key.
That was key.
That's so key. And I mentioned that earlier, like I said, with the team welcoming him like that. And like I said, in particular, Draymond Green, who is their vocal and emotional leader on the court, in the locker room. It's obvious to me that his buy-in has really helped facilitate. And again, not to say that the other guys don't matter, because they obviously do. But his buy-in has allowed this to be much smoother, if you ask me. So again, kudos to everybody involved. And like you said, I think that this good feeling will probably last for the remainder of this season, because this is a team on the ascent. They're playing with a lot of confidence, and we'll see how the season ends. And I think the big, not to look too far ahead, is it, how long will this good feeling last? If they're able to go to a finals and even win it, I know Draymond predicted during the All-Star weekend that they were going to win the whole thing.
He does that every year.
Yeah, I didn't realize
if you predict something year. Enough, one day it's going to come true.
Exactly. I didn't realize he had done that last year. But for some reason, I believe him saying that this year, I do really think he believes that.
Yeah,
and whether that comes to fruition, we'll see. But I do think he believes that this year, given this addition of Jimmy Butler.
The last thing I want to talk about before we get out of here today is we saw a stat line over the weekend. And you know a stat line is crazy when even Wilt Chamberlain has not done it before. But Nikola Jokic had a game with over 30 points, 20 rebounds, and 20 assists. An amazing performance in an overtime win against the Phoenix Suns. But, you know, Scott, you said earlier in the show with complete certainty that Shai is the MVP. For me, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the MVP. He's the league's leading scorer on the best team in the Western Conference, who have a 12-game lead over the second-place team in the West. I don't see any team catching them. So unless the Thunder go on a slide or the Nuggets go on a mad run, you have to give Shai the MVP, because he's done it for the majority of this season without their second-best player in Chet Holmgren even being available.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Jokic is great. I'm not taking anything away from what he's done, but I feel like, I've said previously on the show, the MVP has to come from a top one or two seed in each conference. I think we have to reward winning at some point. And the OKC Thunder have gone out and they've not stopped winning so far this season. Do you guys share that opinion? Do you have a different view on the MVP race?
Remember, we've talked about the MVP going back to last year. And this part of that award, too, is a narrative award. And if you can recall last year, I was telling you, because Shai had a terrific year last season, and they were the number one season then. But he really was just getting onto the national scene. And the point I was making last year was he was setting the case, establishing himself for next season to be next season's MVP, which is this current season we're talking about. And it really has played out that way. He came into this season now more of a favorite, more of a known commodity. And then, to your point, Mo, he's done this, kept them clearly the number one seed in the Western Conference without arguably their second best player in Chet Holmgren for the majority of the season. Because I don't want to take anything away from the young man, Jalen Williams, who's been fantastic and who was an all-star this year. But Shai Gilgeous, time and time again in big moments, has shown up, showed out, and proven why he is the top guard in the league right now. And I believe it's his award to lose. Again, if somehow Nikola Jokic ended up with it, who can argue with him in terms of what he does on the basketball court? But I just, again, as if you've studied the history of this award, a lot of it is narrative shaped over time. And I just think it's Shai Gilgeous' time to be that. And you know, at the end, once he wins, if and once he wins the award, then we'll be looking to the following season and kind of see, you know, will he be able to maintain it, go back to back, or is this somebody else's narrative that's coming up behind him that will put themselves in position to be the winner in the following year, in the 2025-26 season.
BJ, who's your pick for the MVP?
Well, as I said yesterday, the day before, in the regular season right now, you know, SGA is the regular season MVP. But that doesn't, it's not going to stop me from acknowledging, okay? You know, I'm going to call this Armstrong's AAA, okay? Where we're going to acknowledge, we're going to appreciate, and we're going to allow Jokic to be exactly who he is, okay? We're going to acknowledge the greatness when we see it. MVP and all of those things, we will all say that, when they ask us about Jokic when his career is over with, we're all going to be able to say one day, hey, we saw a guy do 30, 20, and 20. Okay? We're going to appreciate what that means, especially at the center position.
Yeah.
Okay? We're going to appreciate that. And then here's where I want to give Coach Malone credit. He's allowing Jokic to be exactly who he is. The most difficult thing to do is to coach a great player. Why? Because he's great. The hardest thing to do in this league is to coach a player like myself. I was mediocre. I was a mediocre player by NBA standards. So coaches had to figure out how to integrate my style of play into a system and figure out how to help what I could do to help a team. But when you have a great player, that's when you find out whether someone actually understands their game, because a great player will actually force you to understand the game. Everyone can't coach what we saw with Jokic. So I want to give Coach Malone that credit for allowing him to be the best version of himself. I mean, he plays point guard during the course of the game. He goes to the box during the course of the game. He facilitates during the course of the game. But more importantly, he now has peeked into what I call the matrix. Jokic has the knowledge better than anyone else right now of how to win with his team, with that level of talent. Now, Shea has had a better individual season statistically and what he's been able to do, but he hasn't done what Jokic has done, which is to win a championship yet. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say he won't win it this year. But Jokic is clearly playing now at an entirely different level than everyone else, because he's taken his talent, he's integrated his talent, and he knows how to win regardless who's on the floor. So he's playing on a whole different level right now. You can see how he's playing. He's won. Him and Malone right now are just one. They're just one. And now you're seeing that the team recognizes that, and you can just tell the way he's playing. Like, he just kind of, you know, he figures it out. You know, I think Mo and I talked about getting double teamed, triple teamed. And I told you, when you're a great player, it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It only matters if you don't have the talent, you're worried about being double teamed. But when you're a great player, you can make adjustments during the course of the game. So he knows how to alter the game. He knows where the other nine players are at on the floor. That's how good he is right now. He knows what the coaches are doing. He knows how to bark at the referees when he needs to. He knows when to score. Here's the thing that I love most about him is he probably could score 40 points a night if he really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And he's chosen not to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I respect. It's not what he's doing. It's the fact that he has the discipline not to do it. So when you see a player that is affecting winning like this, and he's made a conscientious choice to play a certain style, to include everybody, that to me is the brilliance of Jokic. So I'm going to appreciate it. I'm calling this the AAA. I'm going to acknowledge him. I'm going to appreciate. And then I'm going to allow me to watch him and allow him to go out there and do his thing. So just like Coach Malone, I'm gonna learn from that and say, hey, I'm just gonna watch it. And whoever wins it by their standards. But I can say that I saw two players in particular have MVP, an MVP level season. That's for sure. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah, no
what
question
Jokic
about
is doing, I mean, this isn't like 1 year he's done this. I mean, he's done this this is about 4 or 5 years now. He's put up
it.
these level of numbers. And for him to do this consistently and win, and to watch Shea ascend to this level, especially coming off a year. I think he was second last year, right? Wasn't he second last year in the voting?
Second or
Second
third,
or
yeah,
third
second.
last year in voting. For him to do this, wow, this is great for him. And I'm gonna appreciate it. But then once that regular season is over with, we get a
Oh,
chance
yeah.
to really, hey, this is where your reputation is built once the playoffs begin. But in the
Yeah, well,
regular season,
yeah, I'm
it is what
sure
it is.
as great of an accomplishment as winning the MVP would be for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. If you ask him today, how about being finals MVP and winning the NBA title? I'm sure he would take that all day, every day. So,
Absolutely. That's what I love. And these guys, I
exactly.
mean, it was great. I mean, look, these are two incredible players. So I'm going to stay out of the way, just watch it. But I got to tell you what, man, those were pretty impressive numbers. I mean, that even caught the numbers of some family members in my house, in my household, who don't watch the game. And my wife was like, "Is that true?" And I was like, "Yeah, so that was great. That's phenomenal."
No, yeah, no, he's a phenomenal player, and when you're talking about best players of this past decade,
Well,
he's got to be he's got to be right
yeah. There's no more
there.
questions here about Jokic. When you see greatness, you just know it when you see it. Well, he's it. I don't have any more questions about his game. I'm just going to admire it, hopefully for another 10 years or so. But what a interesting talent. And if anything, you can see someone who's mastered the fundamentals of the game.
Absolutely.
He's because he's
Oh yeah.
he doesn't
He's
depend on athleticism.
at
Okay.
all. At all. I mean, but you know what he does this athletic that people don't talk about a lot though? His hand-eye coordination, which is an athletic skill. A lot of times when we talk about athleticism, we like to talk about speed, quickness, vertical jump, broad jump, all those different things. But just some hand-eye quickness. He's really adept at that.
He's tied
And
for second in the NBA in steals per game. You
Yeah,
know, for a lumbering seven
he's
foot,
got
that's
it. No,
pretty impressive.
I don't have any more questions. You know, him, let's put him in the Hall of Fame. Let's put him
Oh yeah, he's
one of
yeah,
the one
he's
of
an
the
all-time
great
great.
unique yeah he's one of the great unique players. And you know what, he painted his own picture. You know, I can't say, Scott, that I ever anticipated a player like this to be have this level of impact. I didn't see
No,
that. I saw him as a young player.
I don't know that anybody honestly could have said that when he was coming
Yes,
into the league that
late.
said, okay, this guy is going to be the best player in the game. He's going to be three, four time, he was a three time MVP winner to date, world champion. I don't know that anybody would have
And
predicted that
Scott,
when he first
no,
started
no,
in the
let's
league.
say it, Scott.
Even Tim, who did Tim Connelly, who did a tremendous job in identifying him and drafting him,
In the
he
second
would have
round.
to say in the second round.
Yeah, so
So
there are
yeah, that's what
some
I'm
people
saying.
who missed on him once, they missed on him
Yeah, on him
twice.
twice, exactly. So he has outkicked all the coverages here and proven to be yeah. And if, I think I can comfortably say, unless you guys can come up with somebody else, he's the greatest second round pick ever in the history of the NBA.
Easily, easily.
I can comfortably say that, Bo,
Easily.
without much
No,
pushback,
I can't.
right?
Listen, if he keeps going like this for another 5, 10 years, there's gonna be some real crazy conversations that needs to be had about Nikola Jokic. But that is another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. Gentlemen, I appreciate both of you for your wisdom nice and early here on Monday morning. And we'll be here all week rocking out as the playoffs quickly approach. We've got about a month of the regular season left. And then it gets down to crunch time. and we're going to see who's really who. So I'm looking forward to that. Make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.